chapter 19, verse number 30. John chapter 19, verse number 30. John chapter 19, verse number 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Father, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity to be in the house of God. We thank you for your presence. We've already felt here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for there was one that came, that died, and cried these three simple words, "It is finished." Lord, I thank you for all you've done. I pray that you'd be with us the next few moments. Lord, that you would bless and honor the reading and the preaching of your word. We'll be thankful to give you all the praise and glory for everything that's accomplished this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, there was a commercial on TV of two individuals. They would be going out their daily routine, their daily task, whatever it may be. And they was talking amongst themselves and communicating, and they was talking about family and friends, and they begin to talk about finances and how they could get ahead in the stock market. And one would say to the other, "Well, my stockbroker says, E.F. Hutton said." And when they would say that, everyone in that surrounding area, everyone within earshot, would stop and listen. You see, they all wanted to see what E.F. Hutton had to say. Their slogan was, "When we speak, people listen." You know, it seems to me that Jesus Christ, he spoke very little, but he accomplished a great deal. You and I, we speak a great deal and accomplished very little. Several times in the New Testament, Jesus Christ only speaks three simple words. I'm reminded this morning as he was on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. There that great storm arose and those waters rose. The wind was contrary. The ship was tossed to and fro. And the disciples were fearing for their lives. All hope was being lost. And they cried out, "Master, carest not that we perish." Our Lord and Savior was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And he stepped out on the bow of that boat and spoke, "Peace, be still." Three words of control. Jesus Christ was in control all the time. And I'll submit to you this morning, whatever storm you're facing, whatever fear has come to you, your trials, the torment, the troubles that you're facing, he is in control. Three words of control. He comes to Bethany in John chapter 11. There Mary and Martha run to him and they say, "Lord, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died." They said he'd been buried for 4 days and by now he stinketh. They take Jesus to that sepulcher. There as he peers into the tomb, he cries with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Three words of a conqueror. I'm glad our Lord and Savior, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. We serve one this morning that's the all-time undisputed, all-time undefeated conqueror. Conquered death, hell, and the grave. Three words of a conqueror. This morning in our text, in John chapter number 19, verse 30, Jesus had went to the cross, and there on the cross at Calvary, he was bleeding and dying, and he gave and he gave and he gave until he could give no more. He was there for you. He was there for me, and he speaks these three simple words, "It is finished." Three words of completion. He said, I came for a task. I came because there was a mission. I came because the will of the Father had sent me and there was a mission to accomplish. And when he spoke, it is finished, it was three words of completion. Completed our salvation. I want to preach on the thought this morning. A cry from the cross. A cry from the cross. Three simple words. It is finished. In Luke chapter number 2, the Bible tells us that Mary, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there in the same country were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, Christ, which is Lord. Christ, which is Jesus. They said, it'll be a sign unto you that you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. There in Luke chapter 2, two times that angel says that he would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. 2,000 years ago, on a calm, silent, holy night in Bethlehem, there was a young couple looking for a place of rest. They were placed in a manger. They were placed in a feeding trough fit for livestock. There this young woman, or there this young virgin was giving birth to a precious baby boy. This baby boy may look like all the other babies ever born. This baby may have smelled like all the other babies ever born. This baby may have acted like all the other babies that were ever born. But there was something special about this baby. You see, this baby was different from all the ones before and all the other ones after. This baby was different. This baby was special. You see, the angels came and announced his birth. Shepherds came and worshiped him. Heavenly hosts praised his precious name. Wise men, kingmakers they were, came and presented him gifts fit for royalty. There was something different about this baby. This child may have been wrapped in swaddling clothes, but the clothes could not contain the glory, the majesty, the holiness of an almighty God. They said it was wrapped in swaddling clothes. I started studying what that word swaddling means. These swaddling clothes were more than just strips of cloth that kept our Lord and Savior warm and secure on that holy, blessed night. But swaddling clothes, they were bandages. They were strips of cloth that would have been carried on a journey to wound bandages and to wrap wounds. And if someone would have died, they would have wrapped the body until a proper burial. They were death clothes. They were grave clothes. Jesus Christ, the very minute he was born, the very minute he was placed in that manger, he was placed in swaddling clothes, he was being prepared for death. I'm talking about the plan of the cross. There was a plan, the reason Jesus Christ came on that holy, blessed night. He was being prepared to die. He was saying when he cried, "It is finished," he was saying, "I was born for a task at hand." He was saying, "I was born for a mission to accomplish." He was saying, "I was born for a purpose. I was born because there was a mission on the will of my Father." He was laid in a cradle. He was laid there in those swaddling clothes, headed to the cross of Calvary. The plan of the cross. The purpose of the cross. Our Savior, he did not stumble out of eternity into Bethlehem on that holy night. He did not think it was just an honorable or a wise or a humble thing to do. But before the foundation of this world, there was a holy God. There was a beloved Son that told His Father that I'll go and take their place, that I'll go and bear their sin, that I'll go and bear their shame, that I'll go and bear their guilt, that I'll go and be their substitute. I'm talking about the plan of the cross. He left the splendors, the glory, the righteousness of an eternal heaven. He humbled Himself in a form of a baby on that holy night. God, the Creator, He wrapped Himself in these swaddling clothes. He wrapped Himself in just a few pounds of human flesh. He wrapped Himself in mankind. But these swaddling clothes, they could not contain. They could not hold in the glory, the majesty, the righteousness, the holiness, the pureness of a holy God. You see, the plan of the cross was to be laid in a cradle headed to the cross of Calvary. The plan of the cross. When He cried, "It is finished," He was saying the plan has been completed. Number two, I see the price of the cross. The price. Before our Lord and Savior ever cried those three words, "It is finished," it seemed like all hope was lost. It seems in our text that there was a conflict there at the cross. It seems as if there was a defeat, or Jesus Christ was dying in vain. You see, He was hanging on the tree. He was hanging there between heaven and earth, and He cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" You see, at that moment, the transfer of my sin, the transfer of your sin was laid upon Him. See, it was my shame. It was my deceit. It was my lies. It was my thefts. It was my iniquities that He was bearing on the cross. It seemed as He was dying in vain. It seemed all hope was lost. It seems like there was a conflict on the cross of Calvary. But when He cried, "It is finished," He was saying that victory has been won at Calvary. He was saying those three words of completion. They were three words of celebration. They were three words of triumph. They were three words of victory. When He said, "My, it is finished," He was saying the price has been paid. The price of the cross. There was a plan, but He came to bear this great price, to bear this great penalty. I'm glad as He hung there on the cross between heaven and earth, He did not say, "I am finished," but He said, "It is finished." You know, it was not some life of some martyr that did all that he could do and hope it was enough. It was not a cry of some prophet that was murdered there on Golgotha's hill. It was not a cry or an end of a worn out life of a man that had given and given and given all that he could give. But it was moreover, it was a proclamation from a holy God that was saying He came with a purpose. He came with a plan. He came and bared the penalty. He came and paid the price when He cried, "It is finished." Jesus Christ, when He was crucified, it wasn't by happenstance He lived there. He came and walked Calvary's hill and mounted that cross. It wasn't because the circumstances of His life had led Him there. Calvary was not this last-ditch effort to save fallen man. Calvary was not plan B. Calvary was not an alternative route, but Calvary was the will. It was the desire. It was the place that God said the price will be paid. The price. The penalty. The price was for you, and that price was for me. Today, society has minimalized and downplayed the cross, and they view the cross nothing more than Art Deco or some piece of jewelry. Oh, but it's much more than that. It's the means of death that a holy God decided he would come and he would mount and pay and complete our salvation. The price of the cross. I'm told that the death of the cross was so painful, was so torment, was so much agony that the one being crucified more times than not would render unconsciousness. I'm told that the Romans, they perfected crucifixion. They used it to prolong death, and they used it to increase the suffering and the agony of the torment of the one that was found guilty. There was two malefactors that day hanging on the side of the cross. There they were paying the price for their sins. They were paying the price for their choices. They were rendering payment for the crimes that they committed. But there was one in the middle that was hanging there not for his crimes, not for his sins, not for his actions or not for his deeds. You see, this one in the middle had no sins. He was spotless. He was perfect. He had no blemish. He was there on the behalf of others. He was paying a debt that he didn't know. He was paying a price that you and I could not pay. The price of the cross. The plan of the cross. It was a great price. It cost God the Father the life of his own son. There's Jesus would have been nailed to that patibulum, and his hands would have been pierced against that cross beam. The pain and the agony of those nerves would have been so excruciating, he would have had to slump down. And there's he slumped down. And those intercostal muscles would have compressed on his diaphragm and make it impossible for him to breathe. And before he would die of asphyxiation, he would have to push up. But because the pain and the suffering was so great, he would slump down again. He paid that for you. He did that for me. It was a terrible price. It was a great price. But when he cried, "It is finished," he was saying the price had been paid. You see, I don't bear that burden anymore. I don't bear that load. I don't bear that shame anymore. Because when he said, "It is finished," he was saying the price has been paid. The plan of the cross. He was laid in the cradle, headed to the cross. The price of the cross. But also notice in our text, the path of the cross. John chapter number 19, verse number 19. The Bible says, "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' This title read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin." Jesus is hanging there between heaven and earth, paying that awful price. And Pilate writes a title, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," for all to see. Those that would go to the city and from the city would walk by and see this man in torment, in suffering, in pain, and they would read that title, "Jesus of Nazareth." He says there, "This title read many of the Jews." The word "many" means numerous. That word "many" means a great multitude. That word "many" means a great number. There was a great number of people that would come and leave the city and would see Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm talking about the path of the cross. Matthew and Mark tells us that there was one, those were some on the path, on that path. As they walked by, they would reveal him and they would mock him and they would blaspheme and they would speak evil against this one on the cross. Mark goes and tells us as some walked by, they would wag their heads. You know, that word "wag" has an interesting meaning. It means a disturbance. It means to cause a commotion. It means to excite or to cause turmoil. You see, as some walk by on this path of the cross and they see Jesus, they mocked him and they blasphemed and they spoke evil from him and they said he trusted in God and said he was the Son of God. Let him come down and save himself. But as some walk by, they wagged their heads. There was a turmoil. There was a disturbance. There was something inside of them that troubled them and that moved them as they walked by on this path of the cross. The path of the cross. Some was wanting a sign. They said he trusted in God. He said he was the Son of God. Let him come down and he saved others. Let him save himself. A great number. Many, the Bible says. Numerous amounts, a great multitude of people read it, saw it, and seen Jesus Christ on the cross. This morning, for whatever purpose, God's led you here to Fletcher First Baptist Church. And you've come to Fletcher First Baptist Church not knowing that you were on the path of the cross. Some of you this morning, you'll walk out and you'll dispute, you'll reject, you'll despise Jesus Christ. Some of you will walk out wagging your heads. A great disturbance, a turmoil, a commotion, a troubling inside. But some of you will come to the foot of the cross and say, as Jesus Christ, as he was there and suffering and paying that price on Calvary, and when he cried, "It is finished," you'll say, "That was my salvation. That was my forgiveness. That was my redemption. That was my atonement. That was my God. That was my substitute there on the cross." The path of the cross. He's led you on this path, just like a great many was on the path that day. What path will you choose this morning? Will you choose Christ? Matthew 7:13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there that go at. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few be that find it." The path of the cross. You may never be on this path again. This might be the only ever opportunity you ever have to the path of the cross. When Jesus cried there on that day with a loud voice, "It is finished," the Bible says that he gave up the ghost. Earth itself testified this was one. This one that was dying on the cross truly was the Son of God. The earth went dark for 3 hours. The earth quaked. The earth rocked and rolled. The Bible says that the rocks rent. Truly, this was the Son of God, the path of the cross. You're on this path this morning. What do you choose? Do you choose Jesus? Do you leave walking? Walking away with a great disturbance, a great commotion, a great troubled inside. Notice the people of the cross. John chapter 19. Verse 23, the Bible says, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout." We see, first of all, in our text this morning, there were soldiers there. The people of the cross. These soldiers, why were they there? They weren't there because they desired to be there. The soldiers wasn't there because they loved Christ and they wanted to show their gratitude for Christ and they wanted to thank Christ for all that he had done for them. They was not there on their own will. These soldiers wasn't there but on their own desires or their own wants. But they were there first of all because they were required to be there. It was their job. It was a requirement. They were told to be there. I wonder how many this morning. You're here because it's a requirement. You're here because it's 10 days before Christmas. You're here because it's the right thing to do. You're here because your parents said, we're going to the house of God this morning. There was not a desire, there was not a want, there was not a willingness to go, but you're here this morning because you're required to be here. But notice verse number 25 and 26. The Bible says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. We see five people in verses 26, or 25 and 26. Five people were there, not because they were required to be there, but they were there because they remembered. What did they remember? They remembered what Jesus had done for him. They remembered how Jesus loved them. They remembered how Jesus cared for them. They remembered where Jesus had brought them from. They remembered how Jesus had compassion and love and picked them up when they were low. They were there not by a requirement, but they remembered. I think of Mary Magdalene. The Bible says that Mary, out of whom went seven devils. Mary had seven devils, seven the number of completion. I think what it's saying there, that Mary was completely full. Mary was completely possessed. Mary was completely full of evil spirits. She was completely full of wickedness. She was completely full of Satan. But she was at the foot of the cross because she remembered what God had done for her. She was there, remembered how God had forgave her, remembered how God had set her free. Remembered how she used, as Miss Sandy sang, tried all the things of the world and could never get enough. But when she met this one named Jesus Christ, satisfied her longing, she remembered. Remembered. Look at verse 26. It says, and when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved. We see John, the most spiritual disciple of them all, was at the foot of the cross. He was there because he remembered how Jesus loved him. He remembered there how for those 3.5 years, the love and the compassion and the forgiveness that he showed. Where were the other disciples? Jesus did the same for the rest. Peter, where are you at? Jesus Christ is dying on the cross. Philip, where are you at? Jesus is dying. He's suffering. He's bleeding. He's dying for you. Bartholomew, you're nowhere to be found. Jesus is on the cross. He's paying the price for your sins. Fletcher, First Baptist Church, where are you at? He suffered. He died. Do you not remember what he's done for you? The people by the cross, they were on this path. Jesus Christ was paying an awful price. It was all because of the plan, because he was going to be laid in the cradle, headed to the cross. The people of the cross. I wonder this morning, are you here because it's a requirement? Are you here because you remember? Are you here because it's the right thing to do? Or are you here at the cross, at the foot of the cross, because you're thankful that he's done all and that he's paid the price, that he completed the salvation? For when he cried, it is finished, he was saying, my work is complete. Let us all stand. We'll ask Natalie, Jason, Misty, if you'd come and sing a song, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Can you hear the cry this morning? Are you close enough to the cross that you could hear this cry when he said, it is finished? He was paying that price. He completed that task. You're on this path. Are you close enough to the cross to hear the cry, it is finished? Why did Jesus Christ come? Why did he come and he suffered and he died? He did it because he was a friend of sinners. He did it because he loved us. He did it because it was the will of the Father. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what was completed, what was brought forth, what was done when you cried there on the cross, it is finished. Three words of completion. God, I thank you for my salvation, for forgiving me. I remember this morning, Lord, where you brought me from. I remember what you've done for me. I remember how you've bled and how you've died and how you suffered. And I just want to tell you this morning, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. I bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye shut. Maybe you're here this morning. You came by on this path. And you just want to tell Jesus, I remember what you've done for me. I want to thank you for what you've done for me. But Lord, maybe I've not been as close enough to you as I need to be. I'm not as close enough to the cross to hear those three simple words. You're on this path this morning. Don't leave wagging your head. Don't leave with that great disturbance. Why don't you come down and just thank him this morning? Maybe you're here this morning. You're here because it's a requirement. Not because you want to be, because it was required for you to come. Never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now's the opportunity. You're on this path. You may never have this path again. Why don't you come this morning?